There's a crazy little Bible study that meets every other Thursday over at Eberhard Village, and it's called the Circle of Love. I like that. It's like a Barry White song. You know Barry White? Circle of Love. I can just see him saying that. Circle of Love. And it's a great group. It's all women, right? So we've got all the wisdom of the church in this one little group right here. It's amazing. And we have just started studying the book of Revelation. Anybody's favorite book? As we know, as we talked about, the book of Revelation is kind of like the super-duper Star Wars version of the Bible. You know, it's all the special effects. It's all the fantasy. It's all the animation wrapped all into one little book and trying to figure out what all that means. So that's what we're working on right now. And it just so happens, God works in mysterious ways, and it just so happens that the scripture from the lectionary today was from the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter. We're not there yet, so this is a little preview of where we're going to be going in the next month or so. Well, let's listen to this scripture. Amen. This is Jesus talking. The book of Revelation, just to set a context, this is Jesus talking. The book of Revelation is a vision from Jesus delivered to a man named John. Delivered to a man named John, and John relates the words of Jesus. So this is Jesus speaking to, was it that church in the first century or this church in the 21st century? Both, I think, now we know, right? Both. Because these truths are eternal and universal. So here's what Jesus says. Yes, I'm on my way. That's some good news, right? Jesus says, yes, I'm on my way. Whoop, I think he just showed up, actually. Yes, I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. I'm bringing my payroll with me. That may not be good news. I'm bringing my payroll with me. I'll pay all people in full for their life's work. Ooh. Ow, little in-your-face preaching. I'll pay all people in full for their life's work. I'm A to Z, the first and the final, beginning and conclusion. That's who Jesus is. How blessed are those who wash their robes. Oh, the purity of life. How blessed are those who wash their robes. The tree of life is theirs for good, and they'll walk through the gates to the city. City, capital C city, the holy city, the new Jerusalem. They'll walk through the gates to the city. But outside, for good, are the filthy curs, sorcerers, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, all who love and live lies. You know which side you're on? That's what everybody's thinking right now. What's the evidence on this side? What's my evidence on that side? He's coming with the payroll. He's going to pay me in full. Am I going to get paid? Am I going to get anything out of this? I, Jesus, sent my army to testify to these things for the churches. You know what that means? We've heard the message. We know what he said. We don't have any excuse. We know it all. Do we live it? I'm the root and the branch of David. I'm the bright morning star. Just to be sure, it's Jesus. Come, say the Spirit and the Bride. Whoever hears, echo, come. Amen. Someone got that. That's what echo means. Say it back. Come. 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 Is anyone thirsty? Come. Come. Amen. Having fun, aren't we? Is anyone thirsty? Come. All who will, come and drink. Drink freely. 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 Doesn't cost anything. Don't have to earn it. Don't have to meet any criteria of worthiness. Drink freely of the water of life. I give fair warning to all who hear the words of the prophecy of this book. If you add to the words of this prophecy, God will add to your life the disasters written in this book. If you subtract from the words of this book of the prophecy, God will subtract your part from the tree of life and the holy city that are written in this book. He who testifies to all these things says it again, I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. Yes, come, Master Jesus. The grace of the Master Jesus will be with you all. Oh, yes. Don't you love that book of Revelation? What was that? Man, Jesus is some funky preacher now, right? Kind of in your face, makes us remember all those things of different parts of the Bible, all those references. Man, the one thing that teaches me is I need to look at how I'm living my life. Because Jesus comes. It's not that he came. It's not that he's coming. Jesus comes. He always comes. He's always coming. Remember, Jesus doesn't work in this little time-space box we live in where things happen in a linear way. This, then that, past, present, and future. Jesus works in an eternal realm, universal realm, always coming, always, all places. Jesus comes. He's always coming. He's always coming to you. He's always speaking to you. But we just heard he's saying to you today, and he'll say the same thing to you in 5 minutes. How are you living your life? Because you don't, are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you ready? Because to reap the full rewards of Jesus' coming is you need to live according to his way. It's not that God punishes you when you don't live that way. This is important. It's not that God punishes you when you don't live that way. It's that the world takes over your life. And then you will be punished. The way of the world is hardship, pain, suffering, darkness. The way of God is freedom, relief, support, light. You see, it's as simple as that. Are you living according to the way? Are you ready? Do you have any regrets? You know, I've said this before. When I got into this line of work here, this pastor thing, you know, which was God works in mysterious ways, Rainey. So when I got led into this, I ended up doing way more funerals than I ever imagined I'd be doing, right? I mean, right off the bat, as soon as I went to seminary, I was doing funerals. Hey, Bob, are you in seminary? Yeah. Well, my aunt just died. And yeah, it's surprising how many people have trouble finding a pastor to do a funeral. So I became known as the Plan B pastor. For anybody who didn't have a Plan A pastor, if you were either dying or getting married, you called Pastor Bob, Plan B, right? Felt like putting a little thing in the yellow pages, Plan B pastor. So, done more funerals than I ever imagined. And when I, you know, one of the blessings of that, and again, it just happened this week, right, with Sheila and getting to meet with Sheila on her way over that bridge and really be able to talk heart to heart about life and the next life, you know, and how people think about that. Almost always they'll say this, and I had no regrets. And I have no regrets, you know. And why is that? Do you ever think about that? I have no regrets. Because God takes all of the wrong-headed things we do and over time tends to work it all out for good. So we think if I went back and changed that one wrong thing, then that wouldn't have happened. And then that might not have happened. And then that wouldn't have happened. Because God takes those things and works them all for good. So would you like to change anything? Or are you good with where God has you right now? You know, that's kind of the question. And most people say, I'm good. I have no regrets. I wouldn't really change anything. I wish I wouldn't have done that, or maybe I shouldn't have done that, but I wouldn't change anything because I like where God has got me right now. You feel that way? And I'm pretty much in that boat. I mean, I've had some rough spots and some rough periods and some dark times, but through all of that, God has got me here. So this is where I am now. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. That's all part of my story with God. So I really feel like, as much as I might regret it, I don't think I'd change it. I don't know. God seems to be in control. Amen. But there's one thing I always regret that I just can't get past. And do you know what that is? I regret I didn't love better. I could love more. I could love deeper. I could show my love more effectively. I feel that way all the time. I missed this opportunity. I didn't say what I really wanted to say. I didn't show my love. I could have done that. And it's either people I'm closest to or someone I just encountered on the street, whatever it may be. Family, neighbor, stranger, enemy, I could have loved better. And I pretty much think I'm just going to die that way. I could have loved better. You can put that on my tombstone. He could have loved better. And it's true. But the one thing I have found is, with that on my heart, the more I try to love better, the more blessed my life becomes. Even little baby steps in this love thing puts me on the side of God in a way I had never been before, right? It opens up me to the way God wants me to live in ways I never would have thought about, the way Jesus is calling us to live. It actually shows me that Jesus is coming. He's coming. Here he is. That was a Jesus thing. It puts Jesus right in front of me, right with me, right in me. Each little step I take to love better, right? More deeply. That's what I regret. I regret it a little every day, but I work on it. At the last church I was at in Kentucky, it was like my first Sunday there, or first month, I can't remember. And they had just started a monthly community dinner. Sunday nights at 6, I think. Sunday nights at 5:30. So it was just an open dinner, you know. And they had it going on. And the woman, Donna, who ran that ministry, came to me. I just started. And she goes, you know, I've got this ministry I want to tell you about, and I just don't think it's working. She said, I've got this community dinner ministry, and only, you know, two people showed up one time. One person showed up. And, you know, she said, what do you think I should do? And I said, well, is feeding people biblical? Yeah. Do you think it matters to those two people? Yeah. What do you expect? Do you think it's in God's hands? Yeah. Okay. So she kept doing it. And they added to it. They added a carryout menu to it, right? So by the time we left, I don't know, serving 40 meals inside and probably 120 carryouts every time. Like just feeding a lot of people, because she put it into God's hands. And one of the issues that came up, of course, with this is how church works, right? This is church mentality, right? People get upset that so many people are getting carryout meals, and we're delivering them to their home, right? And they're not coming in the church and sitting with us, right? So we can claim them, show them Jesus, because he's in our church. You know? Yeah. Right? So people are getting upset about that. And they wanted that to stop, thinking it might incentivize more people to come in. Right? And Donna, who now had gotten the full spirit of the movement of Jesus Christ and kind of knew what he wanted, I'll never forget this when they said that, stop the carryouts. And that was the biggest part of the program. It's kind of like what God wanted us to do, I think. And she said this. She goes, listen, we're not stopping. This is a God thing. It's not for us to decide. And she said, and I don't want to be the person, this is so classic, I don't want to be the person standing at the gates of heaven when Jesus asked me why I didn't feed that one guy. Because that's what he's going to ask. You know, the other 139, why didn't you feed that one? Right? Regrets that we didn't love well enough. Why do we put boundaries on our love, you know? Why do we try to plan it and control it? Love is boundless. Love is chaotic. Love is, Colin, it's smelly sometimes, you know? And it's not pretty, and it's hard. Why do we think we need to try to figure out how to love our way when God wants us to love God's way? When that's what this whole thing is about, actually, is figuring out how to love in God's way. You know, what do you think Jesus wants from us? I wrote down some things that people tell me to live a Christian life. Here's how to live according to Jesus, to be more tolerant. Right? You think that's a good thing? Being more tolerant's a good thing. You think Jesus wants us to be more tolerant? Like go out there and tolerate people? Show them how much we're willing to tolerate them? You know, I'm willing to tolerate you today, you know? I'm not going to yell at you or scream at you or throw you out. I'm going to put up with you, you know? You think that's the calling of Jesus? Or is that a worldly interpretation of how to love others? We're going to tolerate. That word tolerate. We're going to tolerate people. Man, you know, you need to love people. Whether you tolerate them or not, I don't care. Love them. Take your self-will out of it and just do what God asks you to do. Here's another one I hear a lot. These are from a lot of my colleagues in ministry. We need to do better politics, right? We need to get politically active and save the world. Well, for one thing, Jesus is coming and he's already done that, all right, if you'll just get in his boat, right? We need more social justice politics on the left. And we need more family values politics on the right. And we just get in these big discussions and divide ourselves from each other and think that politics is the answer. Do you think that's why Jesus came? Did Jesus ever run for office? Did he ever say anything about politics? Do we get confused about how to love people because we think better government programs are the answer to helping people? Jesus never said, let the government feed the people and clothe the naked and visit the people in prison. He said, you do that. We get confused about this love thing. You know, do we think we're ready for the coming of Jesus? Here's another one I hear. All you need to do to get in heaven, this was probably on TV this morning on about 16 different channels. You know where I'm going? All you need to do to get to heaven is put more money in the plate. Send us a bigger check. We'll send you 5 free books. Don't worry about it. Just send us more money because God knows exactly how much you're giving and he's counting it every Sunday. Not quite there yet. You think that's what Jesus came for? Jesus already told us the answer to that. He doesn't care how much money you put in the plate. He wants your whole life. It's your whole life or nothing, right? That's what he wants. Figure out how to give your whole life to Jesus. Do what you want with your money. Just figure out how to give everything you got to Jesus. I think he'll be happy that way. Right? See how we get confused about what we're called to do? Here's another one. Boy, I'm this church pastor thing. More church attendance. You need to be going to church, brother. Right? You need to be showing up every Sunday morning and getting your ticket punched. So when you do get to that gate in heaven, you can show St. Peter that you only missed about 3 weeks every year. You think that's why Jesus came? So we could gather once a week for an hour and sing to him and praise his holy name? He never said it's in that. You know, he didn't start a church movement. He didn't build a church, right? He said, love people. The only reason we come here, and this is important, is to learn how to do that, to get inspired on how to do that, to get compelled to do that, to have our hearts changed together as a community, to do that together. But it's not about this. It's about after this. When you walk out there, who are you loving? How much are you loving them? What conditions are you setting on your love? Here's another one. Boy. You know what I need to do, I think, to get my final credits to get into heaven? I've got to participate in the ministry. I've got to get involved in something that serves people. You know, like I got to get my hands dirty. You know, I got to go out there and do something. You know, do you think if you're doing that without a spirit of love that Jesus likes that? Same church I was at, my very first Sunday there, they have a Sunday evening ministry where they go to a men's homeless shelter in Covington, Kentucky, right across the river from Cincinnati, right? Called Fairhaven. It's a great men's shelter. And what we would do on Sunday evenings is come feed a great church meal. You know the great church meals, right? Feed a great church meal, and then we'd worship with them, right? And then we'd worship with them. And sure enough, that was so hard for some people not to go. People would go, but riding home, it was so hard for them to not sit in the van and start criticizing the guys we just served. You know, I just didn't understand. What? Is that why you think God called you there? So you could judge them according to your standards of how they're supposed to smell, what they're supposed to look like, what they're doing with their life, how come they're not this and that? You think that's what love is? You think that's the kind of love Jesus calls us to? I mean, it just could. If you're going to go serve in a ministry, don't go if you don't know how to love, because you're representing Jesus' name to people and you're just acting like your own darkness and demons. Don't do that. Without love, don't do it. Church has a big problem with this, sending missionaries over to other countries and trying to tell people how to live according to American culture. My God, that's the last thing we should be exporting, right? We need to be exporting the love of Jesus Christ. Not the way of life of America, just the love. Oh, my list goes on. Here's where we're at. There's a lot going on right now in the church, right? I mentioned that, right? We're like tearing up kitchens. we're like going to be changing things in the sanctuary, I hear. Or changing things up there. Or have you seen the website? And there's change going on. There's movement. There's Spirit-led movement happening, right? But friends, don't think this is about that. That is preparing us for the launching day. When the Spirit has infused all of us and we're all excited about where God has us and what we look like, God is going to launch us. He's going to launch us into the world. And the question's going to be, are you ready? Do you know how to love like Jesus? Because that's what it's going to require. Are you ready to do that? Because he's coming. Have you noticed? He's coming. That's what all this is. He's coming. And he's preparing us for the launch of love into the world. It's got to start right here. You know, we've got to learn to love each other. And not just say it. And not just be best friends, right? But unconditionally, all-forgiving, never-ending, compassion and love. And I'm going to just speak honestly. You think I do that sometimes? You know? Honestly, we got some work to do. We're not great at that right now. You know? You know it in your heart, and you don't like to think about it, right? But I know it from witnesses who come to me unhappy, sad, hurt. Why? Because of us and what we've said or how we treated people, how we talk about people. We set ourselves up for judgment instead of love because somehow we think that's still our right in a church with Jesus' name on it. We can't go through a day hardly without judging somebody in the church. Like you're judging the pastor right now. You know, we got to let go of that. Because the truth of Jesus, the whole reason for Jesus is none of us are worthy. That's the reason we have Jesus. If you don't understand that, you're missing the whole point. None of us are worthy. None of us live up to the standard. So stop judging each other. None of us come out looking good. That's why we've got a Savior who shows us a new way to love. We don't have to judge each other. We can just love each other. We got work to do. So, church, right? I think as we continue to move forward and see how God's working in our midst, and I'm going to tell you, God is working in our midst, and God is working through you. I see it happening, and the way it's happening, I can just tell it's God. But as we're doing that, don't forget the most important thing, the love. All this is just a platform for the love. It's all about the love. That's what the whole life of Jesus is about. Sum up the book of prophets and the book of laws and all the rules and commandments, right? Love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus, who's my neighbor? Yeah, dangerous question. It's the ones you're unwilling to love. The ones you're unwilling to love. We need to work on that. So, I've got to go ahead, show that next slide. We're going to enroll today into a new school, right? We're going to change our love, change school. If you probably noticed, it's already been going on a little bit. We've been doing some preparation work in change school. But here's where we're at, church. What do we need to change now? Our love. We really need to be... we really need to become a community that says, today's going to be the day we change. You know, Pastor Bob's been talking about it for a year and a half. I've been thinking about it. I've got little examples of how I've loved better. But let's face it, we're just putting it off. Don't put it off anymore. Walk out of this church today and be willing to love like Christ. No more excuses. You know his words. You know his life. No more excuses. He's coming. He's waiting right out there on the sidewalk. And he's looking for love like his. I need to do that. We need to do that. It's going to take time. I need to be taught. Probably I'm going to fail some of those pass-fail exams. But that's okay. My sins have been forgiven. But I need to make this full, wholehearted commitment to love like Christ. No more talking about it. And it needs to start here. So, do you agree? Do you agree we can be better? I don't want us to have any regrets about love, especially in our church. And you know church does. You know it's true. So, are you ready to enroll in the school? Are you ready to make a commitment today, just between you and God? It's not about me. It's not about anybody else. Between you and God, that you are willing to make a commitment today, no matter how embarrassing it gets, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how much courage it takes, that you're willing to love just like Jesus is today. Are you willing to enroll in that school? I want to find out how many people are enrolling so I know how much to charge for tuition. Can I see your hands if you're ready to enroll? I got one. Show it to me. Love like Christ. Awesome. It's free. Christ's love is free. Amen. So let's start right there. And here's what happens. When other people actually start living that way in our midst, then we become compelled to follow because we see ourselves for who we are. We become compelled to follow. So for all you who raised your hand, God bless. Show me again. Who raised their hand?
What if you're already in the school? Hey,
I like that. No. That's a great point. So here's what's happening. We're going to go from fourth grade to fifth grade. Amen? All right. God bless you. That's my message today. It's just about love. 7,468th sermon about love. And now my new favorite. Amen.